Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We do roll on here on a Monday night. Welcome back in. Tonight it is game number 3 of the World Series. Dodgers lead the Yankees 2-0, but the series is now shifting to New York, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to shift to New York and welcome on one of our absolute favorite people, period, and favorite people to talk baseball with. She is a St. Louisan, and she rules the world now on MLB Network Radio and ESPN. She is Dani Wexelman. Dani, it's always great to talk with you. How are you?
Oh, my God, Matt. I'm stoked to be here. I am right now. I'm on the concourse right now. Got here early for the game, pregame on the field, and it's the best time of the year, so I so appreciate you having me.
Yeah, we're glad that you found some time for us. Set the scene. How are Yankees fans feeling right now with this team down 2-0, but the series shifting to New York?
I think they're nervous, if I'm being honest. I think that there's this air of, what if it doesn't get back to L.A.? What if we can't win a game at home? And I think you kind of saw that in the ticket prices. If anyone was paying attention to those, they started to go down, which is really interesting, right? Because they haven't had a World Series home game in 15 years. But I will tell you that the crowds have poured in early. They're loud. They're excited. Everyone's got their best Yankees gear on. I've seen way more Yankee fans than Dodger fans, as it should be. The tickets are really hard to come by. But I do think there's a little bit of nervousness, I would say, because the Dodgers I've taken a commanding 2-0 lead.
I've seen the social media clips and some of the comments from columnists and so forth out of New York about Aaron Boone's bullpen strategy, especially in game number one. Is he able to tune that out? Obviously, you manage in New York, you're able to do that, but obviously a lot of people were not happy with Nestor Cortes being in that spot in game number one.
I think that if you asked Aaron Boone if he could have a mulligan, I would bet he would probably take it, right? And not even go to a different bullpen arm, but keep Luke Hoover. In that ball game, he could have done it, right? He's got to go up in game one. And so I do think that he can manage it. I have no doubt in my mind. I've had a chance to get to know him a little bit and also cover him in the game. And I think that he is a really good manager. And he makes mistakes. And I do think that he recognizes that probably wasn't the right move. But you know, this is the World Series, and sometimes you get outmanaged, and sometimes you make decisions that in the moment feel really good, and obviously in hindsight, that did not feel so good, but Aaron Boone is a consummate professional. This is a guy who's not listening to what anyone's saying or paying attention to anything that anybody is saying. He's very focused on his team and moving forward, and so I have the utmost confidence in him. I mean, listen, you have two of the best managers in the game. He and Dave Roberts have been exceptional. Dave has done a better job all throughout this postseason. He has earned his paycheck and then some this season, the injuries that they've sustained. But I have faith in Aaron Boone. I know a lot of people maybe don't always see it that way, but I think if you look at it from an objective perspective, what he's done all season long, game one with Sandy, like without that, I'd say he's done a hell of a job, but he needs to step up. The whole team has to step up. They are, to me, swimming upstream right now, trying to just win their first ball game. It feels insurmountable, but I like the rest of the moves that Boone has made.
Shohei Ohtani in the lineup, leading off. He's the DH for the Dodgers. Has any indication been given just how compromised that shoulder might be or what percent he's at, or are the Dodgers very much keeping that close to the vest?
Yeah, I actually talked to a source before the game. They were here working and just looking at the shoulder length at the ballpark. So I don't know the extent of what he's feeling or really what that partial dislocation things, but guys, it's the World Series, you know, so I think ultimately he must feel good enough, and they feel good enough, right, because he's a $700 million man, good enough for him to be in this game. Good news, he doesn't play the field or pitch, right, so he's just got to swing that back. It's the left shoulder, so it's that back shoulder, which obviously is important. I would expect him to be maybe more cautious on the bases, not stealing unless he absolutely has to, or obviously sliding unless the play calls for it, but I think that if he's in the lineup, then he's good to go. I ultimately don't think that you would see him in there if there was any concern about it getting worse or that if that would be compromising to him in the future. So I feel like the indication for me that he's in the lineup mean that it really isn't as bad as maybe it looked or it seemed in the moment.
We're talking with Dani Wexelman from ESPN and MLB Network Radio. Going back to the bullpen usage for just a moment, do you think managers are looking around? Because it feels like to me in the playoffs, because of all the off days, We're seeing liberal usage of the bullpen because you're able to bring guys back more often, and maybe the effectiveness is not what you want it to be. Do you think one of these next steps in baseball is maybe reevaluating how you use pitching in the postseason, almost ignoring the fact that there's so many off days?
Oh, gosh, it's so tough, right? Because I think in this moment, you're doing the best with what you have. And unfortunately for the Dodgers, the bullpen game is necessary. It's ugly. Nobody wants it. Dave Roberts doesn't want it. The Dodgers don't want it. But they're doing the best with what they have. The problem is that, right, as you said, the starters can't go deep into games. You're taxing your bullpen. And so what does that mean? Well, that also means for the opposing team that they're seeing those arms a lot more. That's good news for them. Bad news for that staff that has to pitch over and over and over again because your starters can't figure it out. And listen, Jack Flaherty's done it, right? Former Cardinal, of course he has. Garrett Cole did it in game one. He was able to give them length. But other than that, I think you have to kind of succumb to the idea that you're at the end of the season. Everyone is tired. Your starters aren't going to be able to give you length. That's why you have eight bullpen arms to bridge that gap. For example, right, Jake Cousins for the Yankees, Brent Honeywell Jr. for the Dodgers. Those are those guys who maybe can give you both innings like a starter and get you through whether you're up big or down big. But I don't know the solution. I hate it, Matt. I love old school baseball. I want to see these guys go seven. And it's unfortunate because you start to call it vintage, right? You're like, oh, it's a vintage performance. I'm like, that should just be the regular. That should be the norm. If you're going seven innings, right, that's what baseball deserves. But it is a problem. And I don't like it. And I don't think fans like it either. No one wants to see a bullpen guy come in the fourth inning. That's not good baseball. That's not good for the game. But unfortunately, especially in this postseason, that's been the key. And you're also, I'll add too, like, you see the high leverage guys, right? Your closers or your setup man coming in the fifth or sixth because that's the biggest moment. And it's kind of exciting. But then also you start to wonder who's going to close this game out if it's a close game. And I think that that taxes the managers and the decisions they make as well. But I don't have the solution, but I will say I don't love seeing it. But you got to get through the postseason. And sometimes it just is, it's just jerry-rigged, right? It's next man up, spikes on, and you figure it out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. On the other side of it, and this has a lot to do with the Stars, that's not impacting TV ratings. They're up like 60% year over year. They're up 90% for the, you know, the younger demographic. If you're baseball, you look and you see it's a series that features Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts and Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, and you say the Stars are bringing out the TV ratings, but it's good for the health of the game when that many people are watching it.
Oh, my gosh. It makes my heart so happy, Matt, to see those numbers go up. And it is because the Stars are playing. But also, we've been spoiled in October. These have been some of the best postseason games I've ever seen watching this game. And that's not just me saying that, right? That is the generation above me and the generation above them saying that as well because the talent is off the charts. And you have this expanded postseason now with 12 teams. And the Tigers get in, and they're fun. And they ruined the Astros season, right? There's all these great narratives and storylines. And I think it's two reasons. Number one, the league is doing a better job of marketing everybody and marketing the storylines and making everyone accessible. That wasn't the case a decade ago. You could tell a story about every guy, maybe not about the Stars and maybe not about a guy like, I don't know, Tommy Edman, who has had a breakout October, right? And so everyone is accessible now. Everyone wants their story out there. And you also have the two presumptive MVPs, two guys that hit more than 50 home runs in the season going head-to-head. You have both coasts. This is, you could really look back and say the last time we had a World Series in Spade was 1981 when these two teams played each other. And so I think that there's so many great things about what we're seeing, and people are loving the guys. It's all about the people on the field who now feel like your friend, right? Jazz Chisholm Jr., for example, very accessible, right? And everything that he does with his socials. I think that, I know I'm kind of speaking to maybe a millennial generation or Gen Z, but I think that's why people have fallen back in love with the game and they've been watching is because there's drama, there's moments, and you feel like you know who these guys are.
100%. And baseball at times struggles with showing out on the Stars, but we know who these people are, and everybody does, and it's certainly shown in the TV ratings. Dani Wexelman does an incredible job working with ESPN, MLB Network Radio. Follow her on Twitter at Dani Wex, DaniWex. Dani, thanks for the time. I know it's a busy night for you. Really cool that you were able to spend a few moments with us.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I'm the lucky one, Matt, and thanks for having me. Enjoy the game.
Awesome. Very good. That's Danny Wexelman joining us here on the program. A native St. Louisan, and she's part of the team at ESPN and MLB Network Radio covering Major League Baseball, doing a fantastic job with it, and we're happy that we're able to get a few moments with her. All right, we are going to switch gears. We're going to talk some football coming up in just a moment or so. Look back at the weekend that was in the NFL. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.